Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. And Rob, you know, there is opportunities to invest in the bond market.
Hey, listen, here's the thing with the bond market. It's not talked about a ton.
It's not.
Right? And it's the scary word. Oh, yeah, well, we know equities, but bonds. Here's the thing with bonds. We've had the conversation. We're going to go back with Tony on this conversation. It is not just Canadian bonds that we need to look at. The opportunities are not just here, same as equities. We have to go outside of our borders.
It is so interesting how an average investor is more comfortable buying a stock of a company outside of their country than they are buying a bond of a company or a government outside of their own country. It is unbelievable.
But the opportunities are
so much opportunity.
Huge.
So let's go. We're going to go with Tony Crescenzi, Portfolio Manager, Market Strategist at PIMCO, to talk about the opportunities around the world.
We're back with Tony Crescenzi. Thank you for the input in the previous segment. Let's maybe go to opportunity. You made mention in the last segment that you're excited that we're back into a global marketplace now. It's unlikely that the central banks will be coordinated in their efforts in terms of bringing rates down. What kinds of opportunities do you see that present themselves in the bond markets?
Well, for one, it depends on the mandate. Some investors have broader scope to do things. So, for example, some of PIMCO's funds and have the ability to own currencies, foreign currencies. It's a way to capture what's happening in the interest rate markets. So, for example, we may want exposure to Brazil, where its interest rates are very high relative to the U.S. There's a wide differential. They have high real interest rates, high interest rates relative to inflation. But is it a good idea to buy the actual bonds in Brazil? Maybe not. Because the market there is not as liquid, and the market can race ahead and think about future rate cuts there, and a lot gets priced in ahead of time. So a way to capture that interest rate market is through currencies and by owning the Brazilian real and selling something else, could be the euro or something else, you capture the interest rate differential because you can invest it in overnight instruments. And so that's one way, but in small scaling and the appropriate mandates. That's one way. But the relative value opportunities, here's an example, relative to Canada. So Canadian two-year securities look attractive to us relative to U.S. two-year securities, because the odds of the Bank of Canada cutting interest rates faster and more seem higher because of more stress on the household balance sheets due to rising mortgage rates, since so many Americans have
30-year
fixed rate mortgages.
Yeah.
Those are just a couple of examples, but lots of things to do in that sense. But we're mainly focused on the U.S. assets, where there's lots of opportunity. The yields are higher there, and some spreads are high on assets such as mortgage-backed securities, very wide, almost at GFC, global financial crisis type levels, because of technical factors, not because of credit. So that's one of the key areas where we have an overweight.
What can investors expect? And I'm not trying to pin you on specific quarters, but if we look out over a reasonable time horizon, the next 24 to sort of 60 months, given that the 2022 reset was brutal for a lot of people and the defensive part of their portfolio, their fixed income, really got hit hard. If we start to see rates being cut, and given your forecast, can you maybe educate us a little bit about what PIMCO sees from a global perspective of a best case, worst case, base case kind of scenario returns for a good quality fixed income portfolio?
Well, a base case, so if I use the Bloomberg aggregate as an example, which contains over 40% U.S. Treasuries, 25% mortgages, agency mortgages, 25% corporate bonds, so it's the lion's share of it. Mm-hmm. That's a yield today of around 5.125%. Starting yield is the main determinant of future returns. So if I look at a Bloomberg aggregate yield versus a five-year rolling return, they're almost the same.
Right.
So I can't guarantee, but the likelihood is the return over the next 5 years will be around 5.18%. So that should be a base case, and that's without any alpha. If a manager is able to produce alpha, the returns could be considerably higher than that. Many target, as PIMCO does in some strategies, another percentage point. Who knows? It depends. It could do worse, but that's the hope. So 5 to 6% is reasonable expectation, but the base case should be for a better return than that. So since 1978, this core strategies such as the Bloomberg aggregate have beat cash. So 5, 6, 7 year type maturities that beat cash 90% of the time by an average of 200 basis points per year on a 3 year rolling basis. That kind of captures Federal Reserve cycles. It's meaning the 5%, 5 1/8% yield probably could add something else to it. I don't know that'll be 200 basis points. What if yields fall 50 basis points, mm-hmm. a half point? The bond math is you take the duration, call it 6 years, multiply it by the yield change, 50 basis points. You get 3 points. Spread that out over a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever you want. And you get the 5 1/8 plus that.
Right.
So the base case should be 5 1/8 yield plus some capital gains because we think yields will fall somewhere along the lines when the interest rate cut cycle happens. Now, the negative side would be if the – and this is not as terrible. First of all, lots of scenarios where yields rise and the return's still positive mm-hmm. because of the income. It's powerful, 5% per year, 3 years, 15%. So it takes a meaningful move up in yield.
Right.
And finally, if yields move up because the Federal Reserve decides to go back to the drawing board to raise its policy rate, which we don't think it will have to, think about it as tough love or medicine. It has to do things to get rid of a problem. And in the end, that toughness, higher for longer, is what produces a better outcome in terms of inflation and the high real returns for the bond investor.
You okay?
Yeah.
There's a lot of bond math going on. You get really excited about these types of things.
Yeah.
You're all happy. Look at you. Look at that smile on your face.
That's great.
So, Tony, there's not too many times that we get to have a conversation about fixed income. And since Dave is one of the fixed income leads on our team, he gets really excited about these things. I wanted to make sure he's okay. he's feeling all right. You all right? You need a glass of water?
No, I'm good. Excited. I got it right here.
You should hold us about getting income from bonds.
There we go. I'm outnumbered.
Clipping the coupons.
One thing that both Dave and I look at when we're looking at the portfolios that we have is what are the risks out there. One of the metrics that we use is what the bond market is dictating or stating that the risks are out there. One metric that many our peers use is the differential or the spread between low credit debt and high credit debt. And right now it's pretty tight comparisons to historic averages. What is that signaling to you, or is there a mispricing in the bond market that says that this needs to be corrected? What do you see with that tight spread between investment grade and not so investment
grade?
Part
of the signal is bond investors they're not demanding all that much to own, to take risks, which is another way of even talking about treasuries, the term premium, the additional yield you get for going out on the yield curve, extra risk that you take. Bond investors say, we don't need much. And that's obvious with the high yield bonds, for example, 300 basis point spreads. They can tend to blow out to 800 basis point spreads to treasury and swap rates when things are going wrong. So it does tell you that the cash flow story is favorable. And here's a strange angle, geopolitics. People always worry about geopolitics. But since the tariffs put in place against China in 2018, the NASDAQ's more than doubled. Mm-hmm. Lots of periods where geopolitics didn't seem to matter much. Markets are able to shrug off risks of all kinds of, from all angles. And so I think that that's part of it. And this is feeling that cash flow, even amid the geopolitical tension, will get greater. That, in other words, the pie will grow. The economic pie will grow globally. Maybe it's because the U.S. and China battling on AI technology. Sure. It's a bigger pie, more cash flow to pay you back, the bond investor, the interest payments, and what you expect on maturity date. And also great for the equity investor, earnings per share, dividends, and buybacks. This is how you get your returns. And so I think it's a broader picture on geopolitics hidden under there, that the pie is getting bigger and the cash flow story is very good.
So it's an optimistic viewpoint versus a fear when the spreads are not as wide.
Yes, but the caution would be you're not getting compensated a lot for adverse scenarios, right. And you need not go out the risk spectrum to get good yields. So we'd be lower on terms of exposure there.
Okay. Listen, I think we've got to wrap it up there. We could go on forever. And you even sounded like a bond nerd there. That was great. I love the fact that, Tony, you look pretty relaxed right now. I suspect if we had this conversation somewhere in the middle of 2022, it would have been less relaxed. We'll take some comfort in that. But I want to thank you for sharing some of that wisdom and insight as to what's happening in the bond market.
Thanks for having me here.
What a great conversation with Tony. Lots of stuff to talk about going forward. We're going to see what happens. But we're also going to talk about all the opportunities to invest in at our upcoming seminars. When are they, Rob?
Join us in Calgary Tuesday, June 4th, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House Inn in Lethbridge. Join us on Tuesday, June 18th, 7 p.m. in person at the Sandman Signature Hotel. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Okay, join us after the break when we talk about if you're going to take money out for some lump sum need in your retirement, where's the place you don't want to go for that? Join us after the break. You're listening to QR Calgary and More Than Money.